John Horn, a TSN analyst, joins us. John, obviously a disappointment for Milos Raonic. Was he hiding an injury?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if he was hiding an injury. I think he's been, this has been the story of Milos Raonic's career, his injuries. Seems like every time that he's going deep into a tournament or has a big moment to shine, something comes up, just like the Australian Open last year. Granted, he got through the Wimbledon final unscathed last summer. But, it's just tough going for him. And he says that the one thing that continues to bother him is the injuries. I mean, if you get hurt so much, you can say as much as you want about, oh, I don't want to talk about it, or I just let my play do the talking or what have you. But in his case, he's always hurt. There's always something wrong with him. And I don't know if it's just his body type or how tall he is, his size. The ironic thing is it's never his shoulder. And you would think with that big serve of his shoulder would almost be falling off by now. But it's always the back and the knees and the legs. That always seems to be the big thing with him. He's had some surgeries. And in this case, it looks like it was an adductor injury, again, that was similar to what he had last year in the semifinals against Andy Murray. But you know what? Make no excuses. Rafael Nadal was just the better player. And he's the veteran player. He's the more experienced player. And Raonic was trying to dictate points against him, but he just wasn't able to do it. And he didn't play as well at the net as he usually does. And he really had his opportunity in that second set. He was up 6-4 in the tiebreak, and then he double-faulted set point away and had 6 set points in the second set. And he kind of threw it away himself. So, again, chalk it up to the classic line you hear all the time as well. It's some good experience, and I'll take it to my next tournament. But, disappointing for Canadian tennis fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, John, full credit to Nadal for the win, but Raonic took a medical timeout, did he not? And I'm just wondering, you talk about one thing after the other. This is not an injury that is welcoming for a tennis player. I mean, you've got to be able to cut and move and stride quickly. And am I overstating to say that this has happened before and there might be a concern that it's a chronic kind of thing with him?
Yeah, I mean, we're not sure if it's a chronic thing. One of the big things about tennis players, just in general, is that the body takes a major toll. And these guys are playing, not to diminish what any other sport is, obviously football and hockey and basketball and every other sport, there's injuries in every sport. And it's a grind and it's tough. But these tennis guys, I don't think they really get the respect that they sometimes deserve for the amount of tournaments that they have to play. They're starting their year at the beginning of January, basically January the 1st, and they're playing right through, if they get to the end of the year finals, till November 15th, with very little breaks in between. You might get a week here, a couple weeks on occasion, but for the most part, they have to continue playing because they have to defend their points to keep their rankings high. And if their rankings aren't high, then they're going to get bad draws and have to face tougher players in the early rounds. So they need to continue playing, and they continue playing every week, and they're playing on different surfaces, and it just takes a toll on their body. I mean, even the great Roger Federer, who went through so many years of not being injured, it's even taken a toll on him now. I mean, his last injury, his knee injury that put him out 6 months, was from playing with his kids, ironically. But he's had some back issues. Now he's got some leg problems that he admitted after today's match. And Milos Raonic has been hurt lots too, and so has Rafael Nadal, and Andy Murray's had pains, and there have been guys who've been off tour for a period of time just to get the body back to normal. Andy Murray, for example, has been told essentially, don't play Davis Cup this year. We don't want you, his coaching team and his training staff, don't play because we need you to get back to 100%. So, it takes a toll on everybody, and in Raonic's case, you asked, did he take a medical timeout? He did in the second set. He was saying to the trainer that he couldn't push off because of this right leg injury, so he left the court and saw a physio to try and get it worked out. And he appeared to come back and play reasonably well. That's when he had that chance to win the second set. But, whether it's a chronic injury, I'm not sure. But definitely a concern because he's hurt quite a bit, and it's not good for him and for tennis fans. That's one thing you start wondering is when players get hurt lots, can they get past, can they win the big matches? Or you're always wondering, is there some nagging injury that is going to stop them from playing to their top level? So let's hope it's not a chronic injury and it's just another injury just based on the amount of tennis that he's been playing.
John Horn joins us talking tennis. Milos Raonic, a big loss. Venus Williams, though, a huge victory for her going to the final. Now, you mentioned how tennis goes from January till mid-November. Why wouldn't the tennis PA say, okay, this is ridiculous? Like, we're top-level elite athletes. You look at hockey, they get at least 2 months off. A lot of teams get longer. NBA's longer. NFL's longer. Like, why are they continuing to play so many tournaments?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of different reasons behind it. I mean, tennis doesn't they have a players association, but it's not one of those things where like in hockey, for example, where the players, you know, if something doesn't happen or they don't want something to happen, then they can vote and ex-nay it and say, no, it's not happening. Tennis players, they have that opportunity to voice their concerns. There's been a lot of talk about how players don't like the way Davis Cup is being handled. It's in the middle of the year. It's scattered all over the place. Players don't want to play it because they're just too tired and it's just too difficult. Novak Djokovic at the World Finals last year in London made a big stink about it, saying how much he hates it and he thinks it's terrible. But the ITF doesn't listen to the players. So, and that's different from the ATP, who runs the men's tour, and the WTA runs the women's tour. So, I mean, yeah, they can. I mean, look, players can pick and choose what they want to do. They don't have to play as many tournaments, but they know that if they don't, they have to keep their rankings up, and they do. So, I mean, you're pretty much, for the most part, there's 9 ATP 1000 events, along with the 4 Grand Slams, the ATP World Finals, a whole bunch of 500 series events. Most of the top players play in all the top players play in the slams. They all play the 1000 series. So that's 13 tournaments right there. They usually pick another 7-8 tournaments on top of that. So when you're talking about 20 tournaments a week, that's just on the men's side. That's a lot of tennis, and it's all over the world too. It's not just in North America. It starts in Australia, moves back to the States, heads over to Europe, comes back to the States, goes to Asia, it's in South America. It's all over the place and different surfaces, and it's a grind. And the appearances and promotional stuff that these guys have to do on top of that. I'm not trying to make it sound like tennis is not like any other sport, but it is truly a global, worldwide sport with a lot of demands that, say, you don't get in the NFL or hockey just because it's based in North America. So it is tough, and players can pick and choose if they do or don't want to play, and some guys will do that. We've seen some players skip the Rogers Cup recently to play in the Olympics instead. Serena Williams often picks and chooses her tournaments, but hey, when you've won 22 Grand Slams and you got $80 million in the bank, you can kind of do what you want, I guess. But it's tough, and maybe the players should sort of form something together and say, hey, you know what, we're not going for this. But for the most part, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
John, talk a little bit about the Williams sisters. I mean, we just been speaking about the grind of the tournament schedule.
Yeah.
Venus is certainly defying the calendar a little bit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something in sports, in all sports, not just tennis, when you see the veteran players succeed in a sport that they were once dominant in for a period of time. And this is kind of like the Nadal Federer as well, where these guys were at such an elite level and they were the talk of tennis for so long. And because of the fact they've been hurt a little bit, there's a younger group of guys coming up. They've sort of fallen backwards a little bit. It's a little different on the women's side in that Serena Williams has been at the top of her game for the most part when she hasn't been hurt for a long stretch of time. But as you said, Venus Williams, it's kind of a cool story where, you know, when Serena and Venus first came on the scene, Venus was the best player of the two. Serena was the younger player, but Venus was the better player. And when they first started playing against each other, Venus would win the majority of the time. Well, fast forward to 2017, and Serena is the number two player in the world, but for all intents and purposes, she's the number one player in the world. She's probably going to go down as the most dominant women's player in tennis history. And Venus has really sort of fallen backwards a little bit. I mean, she's still won a lot of tournaments. She's won 49 career tournaments, and I think she's got about $34 million in the bank, and she's had a successful career. But a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, she got diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And as an athlete, or even for anybody, this is kind of a disorder that when you have a problem, you're trying to stop yourself from having any kind of disease. This is something that you know, stops you from getting sick for the most part. And this autoimmune disorder was making her sick and was affecting her body entirely. She was always tired. Her strength was very weak. And she could have just retired pretty much from the game at that point and said, thanks very much. I've had a great career. I'm going in the Hall of Fame. I've got a lot of money in the bank. I'm going to move on to my other endeavors like fashion and that sort of thing that she does. And instead, she continued to play on. And, you know, you saw her playing some very small level events, and she was working her way up the rankings and all doing it with a lot of pride. And there was no, you know, I'm Venus Williams, I should be getting wild cards or I should be the top seed. She was just grinding it out because she loved the sport and she wanted to keep playing. And here we are in 2017, and she gets all the way to the Australian Open final. Granted, she hasn't had the toughest draw to get to the final, but still, as a top 15 player now, I think she's ranked number 13 in the tournament. To play Serena in the final, you couldn't ask for anything better. And it's a great story for a player who's had to endure quite a bit throughout her career.
John, we appreciate your time. A tough, disappointing loss for Raonic, but still a good performance. And, of course, the story now to watch is see if Venus can finish off her Cinderella run. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. Serena Williams and Venus in the women's final, and I think people are probably hoping for Federer and Nadal in the men's final. I think that would go down as probably one of the better doubleheaders of Australian Open Grand Slam history. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. TSN for all the coverage this weekend.
You betcha. Thanks, John. John Horn, TSN tennis analyst.